whatever it is you want to call it. I love to see you guys and ladies welcoming one another and saying hey one to another. I know that we're all getting a little bit itchy to get back into the house of the Lord as I am. We're going to be patient for just a little while longer, but maybe before long we'll be back in the house of the Lord one with another with our church family. I'm excited about being back, and I hope that you're excited. I do love the Facebook Live, and I do believe it's an opportunity for an outreach of evangelism for our church, and as we have used it during this time. And I do believe that it'll be a welcome thing, maybe when you're on vacation or something, that you can still tune in to the service here at church. I hope you do not use it to replace church, because we know how the Bible instructs us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And especially, he says, even more as the last days approaches. So I hope we don't use it as a substitute, but just something to add on to our lives that we can use as another outreach in our evangelism here at the church. It's been amazing to watch the numbers of viewers that we've had, and that is partly in because of the way that you have been sharing our live broadcast and hosting watch parties and inviting people to come and join our page and all these different things. And I do want to thank you for that. Continue to do that, as it is an opportunity to have outreach here at Fellowship, even when we can't be inside the building. If you want to leave a prayer request tonight there in the comment section, please feel free to do so, or you're also welcome to send us a message by clicking on that send message button there on Facebook. Before I do get into the scripture tonight, I want to read a couple of verses with you in 1 Peter chapter number 2 tonight. As we look here in verse number 2, the Bible says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Verse number 3 says, "If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." I was reading these verses just a few moments ago as we were waiting for the countdown to happen, and got to looking at verse 2 and verse number 3, and I couldn't help but think of a brand new baby calf as I was reading verse number 2 and verse number 3. I growed up there and helping out on my grandpa's farm from time to time, and he raised a few cows, and I can remember as those newborn calves come along that sometimes they were a little reluctant for that first drink of milk, that they were a little reluctant for that first drink from their mom. But I remember watching those little baby calves, and sometimes you would get concerned about them that they wasn't going to go and get that first drink of milk. But I can remember watching them after they got that first taste. When they got that first taste of that milk, and you could almost even see that baby calf's eyes light up when that first taste of milk came into his mouth and he tasted it, and he found it was good. Well, just like verse number 2 and verse number 3 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." That milk will make you grow. And then look in verse number 3, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." I'm glad that I have tasted that the Lord is gracious and that the Lord is good. And I hope that you've come tonight on Wednesday night to join us with our Bible study, because you're desiring the sincere milk of the Word. I know that we need to mature and get on the meat as we mature in Christ and as we grow in Christ. But I want to tell you something, that milk is still sweet. And I know that the Lord is gracious, and I know that the Lord is good. And sometimes on Wednesday night, this is my place of refuge. I love to walk in this sanctuary and just cut the rest of the world out for a few minutes and spend a few minutes with you in the Word of God, because I have tasted that the Lord is gracious and that the Lord is good. My eyes light up when I get the opportunity to come into the house of the Lord, to open the Word of God, and to share it with you for just a few minutes. I will ask you at this time, if you will, I'd like for you to bow your head and pray with me. Pray for me. Pray that God just use the service tonight, and I pray that God will just bless my mind as we get into the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I know that I'm nothing without you. God, I just want to thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your house. God, for this few minutes that we have to share this word, to get a little milk tonight, to shut the rest of the world out and seek a little refuge. I'm so glad that I'm here in the sanctuary. I can't wait for the day that we're all back here as a family. But God, I pray to your Father, dear Lord, as we're here together tonight through technology, that you'll take your word and you'll bless it, God. I pray that you'll just take it and speak to our hearts. Help us, God, that we'll be mindful of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you'll bless my mind tonight, God. I pray that you'll bless my mouth. Help me to never get it within myself, but always lean on you and trust in you. God, I pray most of all for this one that's lost that may be listening tonight, that something that's said or done that your sweet Holy Spirit can use to touch their heart and draw them to you, and that they may receive you before it's everlasting too late. God, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. As we already began saying tonight, thank you for being here with us. And again, I trust that you've taken and reached for your Bible, and maybe you found a place of refuge, maybe there in your home tonight. As we take a few minutes and we share the milk of the word tonight, that you may grow thereby. Because we've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Before you go to commenting that the screen went black, that technology has failed tonight, it is on purpose. I want to come to you with some scripture tonight, and I want to share with you for just a few minutes that in 1 Peter chapter number 2, we're going to read some scripture here in just a moment that I want to share with you. And I wanted to use a little bit of an illustration. I wanted to show you just a little something here in the Word of God. And I'm thankful that we have this opportunity. And as we continue tonight, I ask you to be much in prayer, because I had a completely different thought on my mind tonight and through the week until today. And I got to work and we worked all day today. And I got home and I actually even sat down to finalize my notes. And sat down and took out my notebook and wrote down 3 or 4 pages of notes. And they're short pages, but... And as I went and got in the shower and got ready to come to church tonight, I was in the middle of my shower, and God spoke to my heart and changed the whole direction of the message tonight. So I ask you to be much in prayer for me. I don't have any notes whatsoever. So here in a few minutes, if everything goes off and the service ends and you wonder what in the world happened, you know that I just run out of something to say, and I told them to cut the feed and we went to the house, and I'll see you Sunday morning. But good Lord willing, we're going to depend on the Lord just to give us exactly what we stand in need of tonight. And I want to share some scripture with you out of 1 Peter chapter number 2. Let's begin reading with verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Into his marvelous light. Now, just a few minutes ago, we were in total darkness as we were looking, and everything was black. As everything, as you watched the screen, and after I began to pray, and as we said amen, and if you truly bowed your head and closed your eyes, you noticed that when you come back to the screen after praying, that everything was black, that everything was dark. Well, you know, there's been a time in my life that I was in that kind of darkness. There's a time in my life when maybe I didn't even realize it, but I was trying to walk around in the dark. I was trying to live in the dark. I was trying to be in the dark, and I didn't even realize what I was doing. But I'm so thankful, as verse number 9 says here. He says, I want you to know that there was one who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'm thankful for the day that Jesus Christ called my name, and he called me out of darkness and called me into his marvelous light. How wonderful it is to be in the light of a holy and a righteous God, to be in the light of a Savior who loved me so much that no matter the failure that I am, the mistakes that come in my life, that he loved me so much that he said, I want you to walk in my light. I want you to walk. Get out of that darkness where you may be tripping and falling. Get out of that darkness where things may be hard, where trials and troubles can slip up on you, where snares can be laid in front of you and you don't even know that they're there, and the old devil can trip you up. I want you to come out of that darkness, and I want you to come over into my marvelous light. Let's look what he says again in verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation. I'm so thankful that I'm part of that chosen generation. I don't know why God chose me. I know that the Bible says, I'm not talking about predestination. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe that Jesus Christ died for everybody, and that made us all part of that chosen generation. I'm glad that he chose me. I don't know why he chose me. He sure got the short end of the stick on that. But I'm so thankful that God chose me, and he chose me so much that he allowed Jesus Christ to give his life for me. He said, you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I hope tonight that you're in the marvelous light. I hope that you know that you're out of that darkness, that you're not still stumbling around, that you're not still over here tripping around in the darkness. darkness, but I hope that you have responded to the call, to the marvelous light. I'm glad that God called me into his marvelous light. Verse number 10, which in time past were not a people, but now are a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I want you to look at that again with me. Which in time past were not a people. He says here, you know, at one time I was a nobody headed nowhere. At one time I was nobody headed nowhere, but look what he says. But are now the people of God. This somebody, this me that was a nobody headed nowhere, there was a time in my life when I was called out of that darkness into the marvelous light. I'm no longer a nobody headed nowhere, but now I'm a somebody. I'm a child of God. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and praise God tonight, I know where I'm headed. When my name is called, when I stand before God, I know that I have a place that he is going to prepare. Look at this, which hath not obtained mercy. There was a time in my life when there was mercy being offered, but I had not obtained that mercy. When there was forgiveness being offered, when there was an offer of mercy given to me that I had not accepted. But one day, finally, when I stepped out of that darkness into the marvelous light, I found that mercy. I experienced that mercy. I want to tell you tonight that I love that mercy, and I'm so thankful. Listen, as he says, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. If you find yourself tonight still walking around in darkness, I want you to know that there's a light that you're being called to, that Jesus Christ loved you so much that he gave his life for you, that he wants to forgive you of your sins and take you out of the darkness and bring you into his marvelous light. Become a somebody that's headed somewhere to get out of that darkness that you're walking in. Obtain that mercy that's being offered to you. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts. I want you to notice that here in verse number 11 that it doesn't say, you know what, it's okay to give in to fleshly lust from a little bit at a time. It's okay to dabble around in the world just a little bit. But no, he says, I want you to abstain. See, the thing of it is I'm so thankful for the day that I was called out of the darkness and I was called into the marvelous light. I'm so thankful for the day that I obtained that mercy that was being offered to me, that I became a somebody headed somewhere. But for some reason in my Christian life, I find myself at times, whether it be from a temptation, whether it be just from laziness, whether it be from putting things before God that shouldn't be in my life before God, I find myself moving out of the marvelous light. Now listen to me. I'm not talking about being saved and lost and being saved and lost. But what I'm talking about is my life and my relationship with God. How in the world do we go from being so happy about being in the marvelous light, from being in that place where we know we've obtained mercy, from being so excited about it until we find ourselves drifting into the darkness? We're not abstaining from that fleshly lust. We're not abstaining from ourselves and our own desires, but we find ourselves walking around back over in the darkness. We found ourselves, look, the light didn't change. The light has been steadfast. It always will be steadfast. The light will never change. But what changes is my desire to be in the light. I can either have it in my mind that I want to be in the light and I want to be in the right relationship with God, that I want to be in the right fellowship with God, or I can slowly and surely give in to my own desires and give in to my flesh and find myself back over in darkness. Find myself back in a place that my fellowship and my relationship with God is not what God wants it to be. It's not where it should be. But he says, abstain from fleshly lust. Which war against the soul. And when I find myself over here, back in this darkness, maybe I want to just keep just a little bit in the light. Man, I want people to think that I'm in the light. I want God to know that, God, if I need you, that I'm still here. God, I want you to see me if I need you. But God, if everything's going good in my life, if everything's hunky-dory and it's not really a big deal, then I might just slide over here and I might not continue to abstain from my fleshly lust. I might give in to what I want to do. I might give in to the temptation. Well, preacher, that ain't what we do as Christians. We fall and we come short of the glory of God. No, I want to tell you tonight that I believe that we as Christians, sometimes we choose not to abstain from fleshly lust. We decide that we're going to fulfill the desires of our flesh, and we find ourselves moving away from the light back over into the darkness. But he says, dearly beloved, I beseech you, I beg you, I want to ask you, as strangers and pilgrims, to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Verse number 12, having your conversation honest among Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know what? When I've got good works, I know that I'm not saved by my works. I'm not kept by my works. But I want you to know something, that my works is a testimony to others of Jesus Christ in this marvelous light. It is a testimony of others, how they can find rescue from the darkness. I don't know if you've ever turned all the lights off and tried to walk around, especially here in our sanctuary. If there's not enough light, if there's not sufficient light, these steps here on the altar, these steps here coming up to the platform, they absolutely disappear. And the next thing that you know, you're falling down, you're stumbling, you're doing the best that you can to stay on your feet, but out there in the darkness, it's hard to stand. It's hard for others to see your good works. But I want you to know something, if I stay in the marvelous light and I keep my fellowship and I keep my relationship with God where it should be, then my life and my work should point others to the glory of God. They should point others to the cross of Christ. They should believe because they can see my works. Listen again to verse number 12. Having your conversation of honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you, even though they speak against you as evildoers, and they want to say this, and they want to become the naysayers, and saying what you're doing is so terrible, they may even call you crazy, they may call you a holy roller, they may call you super spiritual, they may call you all different kinds of things, but I want you to notice something. Let them call you what they will, as long as they see that by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. I want my works to say that I'm in the marvelous light. I don't want my words to be, thank God that God saved me. Thank God that I'm free from my sin. Thank God that I don't have to die and go to hell. And the whole time I'm over here milling around in the darkness. The whole time I'm not abstaining from my fleshly lust. Because just as you can see right now, as you can't see me tonight, that people that are lost and dying and going to hell, they can hear all they want to hear. You can talk all you want to walk. But I want to tell you something. What they want to see is they want to see you walk away. Walk that lines up with your talk. They want to see me walk a walk that lines up with my talk. I know that I'm going to fall, I'm going to fail, I'm going to sin, but I want to tell you something. I'm glad that the Bible tells me that if I confess my sin, that he will be faithful and just to cleanse me of my sin. That he'll forgive me of my sin and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And you may be in the same boat that I've been in so many times in my life, that I know that God saved me, but I find myself over here trying to flirt around with the darkness. I want to be halfway in the light, and I want to be halfway in the darkness, because there is pleasure in sin for a season. But I want to tell you something tonight. There is no place like being in the marvelous light. There is no place. When you begin to think about where Jesus rescued you from, when you begin to think about the good things that God has done in your life, when you begin to think about that first drink of the milk of the Word, as we read about before we even began preaching tonight, when you begin to think about how sweet that was, why in the world would you want to pack up and go back to the darkness? Why in the world would you want to get back over here where you can't see anymore, where you're out of fellowship, where your relationship is not where God wants it to be? See, one thing about it is, we all want to talk about straddling the fence, but there's really no fence in God's Word. I can't find a fence anywhere. What people want to see is somebody that knows who God is and has given their life to God. That's the way that will make a difference in their lives. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works. Well, preacher, I just can't talk to people. It's hard for me to talk to them about the Bible. It's hard for me to talk to them about the Lord. Listen, I think that we should, I'll just go ahead and say it. I think that sometimes you need to sit down and practice talking to people. You need to sit down and work on being able to give people the gospel, to give people your testimony in order to point them to the cross. But if you're one of those people that says, I absolutely can't talk to people, I'm an introvert, I'm backwards, I can't do that. That's just hard for me. I want you to know something. Let your life do a lot of talking for you. But in order to do that, you better know about this marvelous light. You better live in this marvelous light. Don't be playing around in the darkness. Don't be playing around over here where you don't have any business being. We've all done it. Hey, I'm your pastor tonight. There's been times in my life when I've played around in the darkness. Still coming to church Sunday after Sunday. Maybe teaching a Sunday school class. Maybe just as faithful as anybody else in the church. Still giving my money to the church. Still paying my tithes. Maybe even saying the loudest amen in the congregation. And I knew that I was playing around in the darkness. That's no place for us to be. We know how wonderful it is. And how wonderful. Remember that first taste of the light that you got. You remember how wonderful that was? Why in the world would we play around in the darkness? Why would you want to be not in the right relationship with God? For one thing, I believe it's detrimental to our Christian lives. I believe that it is something that just plays havoc on our hearts, on our minds. I know the times in my life when I've played around in the darkness, when I knew what it was and I have experienced the light. Listen, before you're saved, you're over here playing around in the darkness and you don't even know any better. And then one day when your name's called and you moved out of that darkness into the marvelous light, now you know better. And once we're in this marvelous light and we get to back over there milling around in the darkness, your mind, your heart, and your soul will tug at you. You'll be in a war with your own self. You ain't happy in the darkness because you know you don't belong there. You're not happy almost in the light because you know what you're doing. Milling around in the darkness, the only way that you're going to be happy is to find somewhere, get things right with God, and get back to living in this marvelous light. Because when we get to the place that we're milling around in the darkness and we have no business being there, it will affect you, but it'll also affect others. How would you like to think that there's somebody? I'm almost done tonight. How would you like to think that there was somebody watching you live your life in the light, in the marvelous light? And man, they was watching you and they said, man, that's real. That's what I've been looking for. That's what I need in my life. I'm tired of living in the darkness and I want to be in the marvelous light. And they have saw that by your good works that you have done. And just before they get ready to make a decision for Christ, just before they get ready to leave the darkness and come into the marvelous light, all of a sudden they see you and you're gone. You're no longer there. All of a sudden, you're back in the darkness. See, the thing of it is once we have proclaimed that we know Christ, once we have claimed that we live in the marvelous light, if we choose to go back into the darkness, it affects way more than just you. Parents, your children are watching you. Your children are watching to see, are we just in the light on Sundays? Are we just in the light around the right people? And then when opportunity presents itself for us to go and not abstain from fleshly lust, we want to scoot right out of the light. We want to fulfill our own desires. It's a dangerous place to be as a Christian. A very dangerous place to be. Church, I don't know why God sent this message tonight. First of all, I just want to celebrate his marvelous light. I want to celebrate his mercy. The day that I obtain mercy, I'm so thankful that I don't have to be in darkness, but I can be in the marvelous light. But then I think as I look back through my Christian life, I can think of things and times in my life when I tried to live almost in the light. But you know what? To live almost in the light is to live milling around in the dark. Is to live over here in a dangerous place where I'm no longer giving God glory with my life and pointing others to Christ. It's to live in a place that I'm missing out on fellowship and relationship with God. is to live in a place that is very dangerous and very detrimental to my Christian life. I'm thankful that in those times that God didn't give up on me, that God didn't say, I'm done with you, but God wooed me and loved me and called me and forgave me, and I obtained mercy over and over again. Well, preacher, I don't know why you want to preach something like this, why you want to be so hard on us, because you know how hard it is out here in this world. You know how we're all living, and life is such fast-paced, and all these opportunities are out here. And man, if you're going to be anything socially, you have to kind of give in sometimes. No, absolutely not. We don't. But I think the reason God sends this message, I think that we all find ourselves weighing that in the balance from time to time. Do I live in the marvelous light? Or do I give in to my fleshly desires and mill around in the darkness? Church, I'm going to ask you to pray with me tonight. Pray for me. Maybe you find that you're exactly where you're supposed to be, that you're living in the marvelous light. I'll tell you something. Pray for me. Pray for my family. Pray for the other people that we go to church with. If you find yourself exactly right, I guarantee you, if you go to praying for everybody that we go to church with, praying for me, that there's some of us that need help. And if you think that you're living exactly right, I'm going to pray for you too. Because we all find ourselves, sometimes we think that we're walking really, really close. We're getting set up for failure. And tonight as we pray, not only do I want you to pray for one another, but let's pray for the ones that we know that are milling around in the darkness. They've never experienced this marvelous light. Let's pray that we as Christians, that our good works will show them what they're missing in this marvelous light. Let's pray that God will have mercy, have grace on them, and continue to call them until they accept Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all your many blessings. God, I know that I have found myself many times in my Christian life where I really, in my heart, I wanted to be living exactly where I was supposed to be in the marvelous light. But God, I didn't completely abstain from my fleshly desires. God, I milled around in the darkness. And I'm sure that my life has negatively impacted some for the cause of Christ. I'm sure that people have been able to point their finger at me before and say, right there, I thought he was real. God, I pray that you'll help me. God, forgive me for those times. And God, I pray that you'll help me every day to walk a walk that matches my talk, and more importantly, that matches that I live in the marvelous light. God, thank you for rescuing me from darkness. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness and for your grace. God, I thank you for your word that reaches into our hearts, that convicts us, that strengthens us, that encourages us, and helps us to be exactly where you'd have us to be. God, thank you that you love sinners like us. I pray for anyone that may be watching tonight that may not know you as their personal Savior. God, I pray that they will accept you before it's everlasting too late. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you for being with us tonight. I'm so pleased with what God's doing with our outreach here through Facebook. I believe it's something that we will continue to grow, even as we're able to come back to church here before too long. I'm so thankful for what God's doing. Again, if you have a prayer request or a question or a comment, or you need to reach out to me in some way, send a message there to our Facebook page, and the guys there on the digital media team will reach out to me and let me know that that's there, and I'll do my best to help you in any way. If we all struggle together a little bit, we all strengthen each other a little bit, we can live in the marvelous light like God's called us to live. Good Lord willing, nothing don't happen. I'll see you Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Thank you.